Okie doke, we're back. All right, so when teaching their church to prophesy, they got everybody lined up and they say, turn to your left or right. Okay, so if I had all y'all get up, right, and I just said, okay, speak a word of prophecy to the one next to you. And so you speak a word of prophecy. This is Bethel. And then they ask if, then after they speak a word of prophecy, then they do this. They say, okay, the prophecy was true, raise your hands. And you got like, let's say 50% of them raise your hands. And so if they do, they applauded them. And then they go, well, how many got it wrong? And then you got the other percentage. And then they applaud them for trying. So prophecy, as long as you prophesy, it doesn't matter if it's good or bad, because after all, you just got to get into the flow of it, right? So we're just going to applaud you for trying. So they literally applaud the false prophecies. Folks, this is where it comes into, and I don't know if it's in our church covenant or if it's in the Southern Baptist Faith and Message, but this wouldn't be a bad thing to have. I mean, like, I'm such a perfectionist that where if I really, really, really wanted to do it, I could take a year or months and months and really just do all of this stuff, but I just figure I'll just preach the word instead. But still, I believe not only in the inerrancy of Scripture, that doesn't mean the people who wrote it were not fallible, and it doesn't mean there's not misspellings in some of the manuscripts. And that you have to understand what we mean by that it's inerrant, that it is inspired by God. However, some people will say that and not really believe it, and other people will say this and not really mean it, and that the Scripture is sufficient. Not just inerrant, but sufficient. Why in the world do we need to go outside of Scripture for new prophecy today? Everything that you need is afforded you in the Scriptures. God didn't intend to have someone prophesy over you who you're going to be married to, where you're going to live, if you're going to be rich. That is fortune-telling nonsense. Use your brain. Use wisdom. That is what Proverbs is for. That's what Ecclesiastes is for. It's kind of a counterbalance to Proverbs. But folks, the Bible has good practical principles. And why would it teach that? Because God ain't going to just give someone a word of prophecy so you don't have to ever use this noodle to think about anything. Oh, well, I got to go left, or I got to go right. Oh, I'll marry a redhead, or I'll do that, or I'll go to... That is mindless Christianity. So, they literally applaud the false prophecies because, after all, you got to learn. But what does Deuteronomy 18, 20 through 22 say? But the prophet who presumes to speak a word in my name, which I have not commanded him to speak, or who speaks in the name of other gods, that prophet shall die. And if you say in your heart, how shall we know the word which the Lord has not spoken? When a prophet speaks in the name of the Lord, if the thing does not happen or come to pass, that is the thing which the Lord has not spoken. The prophet has spoken it presumptuously. You shall not be afraid of him. See, this ain't fun and games. This is not fun and games. You say, well, but that's the word of God. Yeah, it's the word of God. And if you are prophesying, you are, what is prophecy? Prophecy is speaking forth or foretelling the word of God. This is, you can't water that down. And then Jeremiah 23, 16 and 25 through 26. Thus says the Lord of hosts, do not listen to the words of the prophets who prophesy to you. They make you worthless. They speak a vision of their own heart, not from the mouth of the Lord. I have heard what the prophets have said who prophesy lies in my name, saying, I have dreamed, I have dreamed. How long will this be in the heart of the prophets who prophesy lies? Indeed, they are prophets of deceit of their own heart. Okay, that's what you call testing the spirits. That's what you call lining up the crooked against the plumb line of God's word. And then Ezekiel 13, 2. Son of man, prophesy against the prophets of Israel who prophesy, and say to those who prophesy out of their own heart, hear the word of the Lord. Oh, what timing. That was pretty cool. Didn't plan that. And with that, we'll conclude. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you that you have not left us with trying to discern all of these prophets and prophecies and false teachers, whether they are not authentic or indeed false teachers. You have not left us to do that with our discernment or our judgment, but you have left us your word and your spirit. We thank you that even as we have to go through some of the unpleasant thing, I would say exposing our brethren, but they're really not our brethren, are they, if they're false prophets? But as we do this, we can, the silver lining in this is that we equip ourselves to know God's word even more, to be assured that your spirit and your word are sufficient and that there are answers, and what you have for us is far greater, is infinitely greater than what the false teachers presume to promise and prophesy. And we do love you. We love your word. And this is how we know that we love you, by loving your word. For there is no dichotomy between God and the word of God, the word of God and the spirit of God. There is no dichotomy at all. And we do not even comprehend, although we can apprehend, you whom we worship, one being with three centers of consciousness, Father, Son, and Spirit. And we thank you for all that you've done for us to secure our salvation, for planning it, for securing it, and for sealing it. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.